Well, this is Scott Wells with the Magic Word, and we're going to be here in Phoenix for the IBM convention, which begins, I think, officially tomorrow. Today is Tuesday, and this has been just a great time in getting here, getting a chance to visit some relatives. But, of course, before the convention begins, that in order to kick things off officially, we have to come by the In-N-Out Burger. So, yep, sure enough, here we are. Gotta love this place. Yeah, gotta make that a special trip anywhere, anytime there's one anywhere nearby. So, anyhow, the convention will begin tomorrow. But this evening that there is going to be then a prequel, if you will, to the convention. It's going to be a night before with the a movie kind of a thing that's called Make Believe. Some of you may have seen this on HBO, I believe. It was on one of the premium stations before. It was kind of about the search of some youth magicians who were trying to kind of follow their lives as they compete for the contest for magic prize. And then afterwards a panel discussion, and then following that will be a early bird lecture by Tony Chris, I believe it is, talking about bizarre magic. But and tomorrow again the convention kicks off tomorrow afternoon. There'll be a lecture by Valerie from Russia, I believe she is, and going to be talking about quick change artistry. But right now I've got Don Weiberg with me. Hey there, Don, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Scott?
Doing good. And you're looking forward to the convention as well?
Oh, very much so, yes.
What do you think is going to be a highlight? What are you looking forward to? Who are you looking forward to seeing or hearing?
No one in particular, but I've heard that the talent for the show is going to be a bunch of individuals we have not seen before.
Yeah.
That's kind of
always fun.
Kind of a nice feature.
And bringing people from overseas. You've got a lot of foreign people, I think,
yeah,
as well.
And those foreign people, they have a different word for everything, so something to do with their language.
That doesn't seem to be a barrier.
Is this going on the air? Are we live?
You are the secretary of the IBM, so you kind of see behind the scenes and things that are happening. And you were telling me that the next couple of years, next year, of course, the combined convention in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And the next couple of years beyond that, we're going to be where?
Jacksonville, Florida, and then after that in San Antonio.
So that's going to be 15 and 16. Is that right?
2016. That's correct.
Right. Jacksonville, Florida. And then, so you can start to mark your calendars now for those conventions coming up soon. And for the next year, of course, again, it's going to be the combined convention. And then the combined convention, I think, after we finish the IBM in San Antonio, they've already selected that place too, I believe.
I haven't heard anything official. I'm hearing rumors that it will be another combined convention.
Yeah, I thought I saw something on Facebook here recently. They had announced a date in 2017.
Again, rumor has it that the combined convention in 17 will be in might be in Louisville.
Louisville, okay.
Or Louisville.
Okay. And the as far as then right now, you know, that we, if you're anywhere near Phoenix and you're listening to this and thinking about coming in, that it's not too late to come in. So we're going to have a lot of shows, a lot of things planned. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know that when I was talking to Mike Stratman the other night, that we've got the Lance Burton Teen Seminar. They've got some sessions going on all day today. As I said, this is really kind of the day before, but this is really the teen day, wouldn't you say?
Correct. That is correct, yeah.
And they've had all kinds of people, Sean Farquhar and Oscar Munoz and others giving special.
Eugene Berger.
Jeff McBride.
Jeff McBride. David Haas.
Larry Haas.
Larry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the youth are learning a lot then right now. So it's kind of a convention within a convention. So if you're a youth, you're missing out on some great opportunities. But Lance will be here, I think, tomorrow or the next day, I believe. And then the movie I was talking about tonight, Make Believe, there'll be another movie then tomorrow night, which I think is Desperate Acts of Magic. And then on Thursday is going to be Playing Dead, and then talk with Todd Robbins. That was the movie that was, I think, produced also by Teller, I believe. But anyhow, so it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to a great time. And so we'll be talking with you a little bit more later. So that was Don Weiberg.
Okay.
And Scott Wells.
Scotty out.
Well, here we are at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and this is where the activities all take place. This is, again, kind of a prequel. It's a sneak preview before the convention begins here on Tuesday evening, the 16th. 16th or 17th, I guess. This is the 16th, I believe, yeah. And that I'm here with Rolando Santos, past president of the IBM. Hello, Rolando.
How are you doing, Scott?
Doing great. You as well, my friend. And you were going to, I heard you say something about you're going to be reviewing tonight. So you're going to be writing something up for the Lincoln Ring magazine?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. As part of the various hats that I wear, I'm the assistant editor of the Lincoln Ring. And tonight, for example, I'll be reviewing Tony Chris's Bizarre Magic lecture.
Yes.
I've seen Tony a couple of times, and actually I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table today.
I've never seen him, and I'm anxious to hear this. It's about bizarre magic, I guess, seance-type stuff and kind of creepy things, okay.
Yeah, and of course we have, you know, Gene tomorrow, so that's kind
of
pretty interesting all the way around. And then the magic shows, and I'll be doing, of the three magic shows performances this weekend, I'll do two of those as well.
That you're going to be reviewing for the magazine.
Yeah.
So you have different people who are slated to review different parts of the whatever.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting because we actually will take members and ask them to review. And basically, this is not about trying
That's how I got started.
Yeah,
writing.
Not to criticize.
Sure.
Someone just say, what's your impression? You sat there as a magician, as an audience member, and what did you think? And so, in
it's
fact,
the most honest.
Hey, in fact, I've got three lecturers that I still haven't made assignments for, so if someone sees me as they're walking around, please walk up to me because I've got to get some assignments done.
There we go, because I'm going to be posting these each evening, so people will be listening to these on a daily basis.
Tell them to look at me because look me up because I've got three shows that I haven't got reviews for yet.
If you want to be a publisher or author, you can. The Lincoln Ring, just look for Rolando. He'll help you out. You know, that was, again, how I got started. But I think it was 81 or 2, I think when we were in Hawaii for the convention, and I was talking with Gene Anderson, and he said he had been asked to write up something about the close-up show, or, you know, and he said, I really don't want to write it up. And he said, I know, Scott, you can write. He said, you've written something for Jeannie. He said, would you write up? And I said, okay. So it was just, you know, just kind of, I think it's good, you know, that, as you say, to have a good perspective of someone else, and it's not someone who's necessarily associated with the convention in any way, and it's kind of honest from the heart.
Well, as you all know, because you've served in different capacities in the organization, everyone gets started some way, and this is just
a great way
of doing it because you can give back to the organization.
Sure.
It's fun the first time you get your name published in the Lincoln Ring.
I mean, cool.
I started, in my case, I put together a ring parade for my ring, Ring 9 in Atlanta, and that's how I first met Phil Wilmarth, who was the editor at the time, and from then on, it just took off, and in fact, that eventually led to my presidency, right?
Yeah, sure.
But this is a great way for people who don't know how to give back to the organization to take part.
Know how to get involved.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they want to be, you know, be a TVP or something. It's a good way of kind of working your way up and learning more about it, or serve on a committee. I mean, they're only looking for committee members, whether it's for membership or advertising or on the convention committee. There's so many subcommittees and people who need to do the work, and that if you have any interest in doing that, you know, that they should come and see you, I guess,
absolutely,
or anybody. You know.
Any of the officers, but especially me, because I'm real big on trying to help people get started, because that's basically how I started. I said, hey, I have this idea. Can I do it? Phil was very open to it, and you know, and the rest, as they say, was history for me.
Yeah, right. And as far as the Lincoln Ring goes, that that has changed and it's been evolving over the years. Any new changes or things that they're going to be that you can talk about then that's going to be released here?
Absolutely. The new website.
Yeah.
We're expecting approval on the new website at this particular convention.
Okay.
Sammy's worked very hard along with a whole lot of other people to absolutely redesign from top to bottom. There's a new app out for us that you can see the Lincoln Ring on your iPad. So all those things are going to be announced at the business meeting. If not tomorrow, it may be the actual Thursday meeting when Bill Evans takes over.
And once that's approved, then it will go live during the convention?
You know, I don't know exactly when he plans to go live with it. I know that we've done all the mock-ups and we've had it in... we've had the mock-ups going and being tested for almost 6 weeks now.
Right.
So I assume it's just a matter of getting the approval and flipping the switch, but you'll see it very quickly here.
Yeah. It's exciting. Well, one of the things that I prepared also for this one that we haven't had in the past is an electronic guide, you know, with a guidebook. If you go to guidebook.com/G/ I think it's 2013 IBM, that, maybe it's, it's 2013 IBM, that it would go to that page and you can download that and it would have the schedule, tells you who's going to be on, the times. You can have your own to-do list. If there are things you want to see or do, you can create your own schedule. It has a map of showing you all the different rooms where they're located. It has an overview of, you know, the hotel, different kinds of things, and it's a free app there again. And so I posted a thing over there. I'll post a link on the podcast about this then as well. But yeah, you can get the QR code, you know, over there and download it on your on your Android, your iPad, your iPod, anything electronic, and so that's something that's new and different here this year. So.
You know what, that's perfect for me because there are a lot of different events. I have to attend the business meetings. Yep. I'm head of the management committee, for example, I'm chair of the management committee. Yep. The reviews that I do, and then just catching up with friends. And so it's much easier if you can just, you know, scan some and very quickly say, hey, remind me to do this, 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 and this, and you're off to the races.
And if you put that phone in your pocket, it'll vibrate, and it'll tell you whatever. You know, it'll give you a little bit of pleasure for a moment, you know, and say, hey, you know, you can set it for, you know, 10, 15, 30 minutes or so, an hour before
the
event.
There's an old magic joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going there.
Not going there. No, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I'm excited about the look of the new the website, and so that's going to be kind of cool. So that's... And so the convention looks pretty good. I talked to Mike Stratman the other night about this, and it sounds like that we've got a lot of things planned. So looks good. Anything that you're looking forward to seeing and doing aside from old friends? And,
well, yeah, actually, you know what? That's one of the most important things about this convention or any convention. I get a chance to see a lot of old friends, particularly for me. I'm living in Chile, working for CNN down in Chile. So these are the opportunities that I get. If I were living in the States, I'd go to different ring meetings around the country and see my friends a little bit more often because you go to all the different conventions. But, but for me, that's that. And the other thing here is Bill Evans in particular, John Pye, as he goes out, Bill Evans coming in as the international president, one of his things is to get people involved. And I'm a firm believer on that. I mean, we can open the doors, but someone's got to take that first step. I will open the door for you. We just ask people to take the first step, and we'll help you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one good thing that a lot of people have been doing is taking a first step. I know we have first-time people attending conventions here, as we do every year, but also of the youth events. The Lance Burton, I'm so excited about that. All day long today, this has been kind of a pre-convention convention, if you will, for youth with, you know, Sean Farquhar had a lecture, and Oscar and Melody Munoz had one, and I know Lance coming tomorrow, Eugene. Jeff kicked it off, Jeff McBride, so... that's exciting. Have you seen how many youth have you been to upstairs to see the...
No, I flew in, actually flew in from Chile yesterday and then from Chile here this morning.
Okay.
So
you're kind of in the same time zone, roughly?
Where are we? We're Eastern time zone right now. So,
okay, not too far off.
That is. I'm 3 hours ahead of where we are now.
Yeah, okay. So when you're talking to the home office at CNN, you're kind of on the same time.
Yeah. For now. But you know, it changes during the year because there's one point in the year, over there the seasons are reversed. I'm in winter. Yeah. I left 32 degrees basically to come to 101 degrees.
Yeah. Just a wee bit different.
Yeah, just a little different.
Yeah.
So.
I was in England the month of May, and it was, I think they said the coldest, wettest month they'd had on record tonight since 1961. It's like, oh, welcome to England. It was, I think the high was maybe 55 or something. I don't know. But I loved it, you know, because I knew I was coming back to Texas and it was going to be a lot hotter. But anyhow, thank you, Rolando.
Anytime.
Looking forward to this. Well, let me ask you a question. If I haven't asked you in the past, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. What is your magic word? Wouldn't have to be like abracadabra. You know, it could be something that is your mantra, something.
Participate.
Participate.
I mean, honestly, it sounds trite, but, you know, all the friends, you, among others, I mean, we happen to be Texans, which is a different thing
different
that we share, right?
Yeah.
But I met a whole lot of people over the last 19 years, and I was able to start with one column idea and ended up as an international president and just met people all over the world because I took that first step, and so that's it.
If you sit on the sidelines, you're going to stay on the sidelines.
Yes, exactly.
You have to participate.
Exactly.
So that's a good one. Participate.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay.
Thank you, Rolando Santos.
Anytime.
Okay. This is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, saying Scotty out. All right, well, we're still before the show begins in about another 15 minutes before the movie and make-believe starts. And I got Aubrey Fine. Hello, Aubrey.
How are you?
Doing great. And Michael Messing.
Hello.
Two different guys I really want you guys to hear from. Aubrey's been working with the youth the past couple of days in tents, and I've got some questions for you. And also then, Mike, you've been, this is your second year, actually, as the official photographer.
That's correct.
And you said last year you had, like, what, 15,000 pictures you took or something?
I whittled it down to about 1,200 when I was done.
Yeah. And so, but you made the cover. One of your photos made the cover, which was
actually
cool.
they did a montage of the cover last year of photos.
Yeah,
and then I've got this month's issue has our new president and a photo that I took last year.
Well, you got some big shoes to fill, you know, with Irving Desfour, and then there was Rick Bamman, and then David Linsell, and now Michael Messing. So that's a name that you guys should remember up there. So so you've been doing photography for a long time, or is this something that
almost as long as magic?
I've
been a photographer for about 36 years
before digital.
Before digital.
And so what is your opinion about digital versus old-fashioned type of making prints?
These days, it's I mean, film still has sometimes a better look, but the versatility of digital it can't be paralleled. I was a darkroom technician for years.
Oh, okay.
You couldn't do in the darkroom what we can do in Photoshop.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's true. Of course. So, do you miss Kodachrome?
Yeah, I was kind of nostalgic when they got rid of it and the last roll came off. There was even a guy did a little mini documentary. He got the last roll of Kodachrome,
yeah,
and documented how he shot it.
Ah, how he shot it? Interesting.
Yeah, he's a professional photographer, yeah, and he went around and documented how he was using this last roll of Kodachrome ever being produced.
The pictures that were going on, they had to be perfect, good pictures, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, he didn't want to waste any photos.
That was good. And as far as, I want to be kind of brief because we got to get some seats in here, but Aubrey, about the youth. So this was different this year because of all the activities they had before the convention. Typically, right, they happen during the convention. So how did this come about?
Each year, we periodically offer a pre-convention, but not this intensity,
yeah,
not this well put together. It was really the pinnacle on top of the mountain. This is,
yeah,
just
some heavy
remarkable
hitters.
But heavy hitters that were humble, heavy, yeah, hitters that were able to talk with kids, and heavy hitters that really let kids understand that magic is a community and that you learn it together, and you share magic.
Right.
And it's just been wonderful to watch these kids sitting with Jeff and Eugene and Lance.
Right.
They're just sitting there with their mouths open. You could put a tomato in it, and they wouldn't be able to bite it.
Yeah. And so was it also workshops? I mean, are these things...
It's a full day. You know, it's a full day. We did workshops for the kids.
And breakout sessions.
A variety of sessions. I did a session last night for the parents,
yeah,
to talk about how they understand their role in dealing with a young person that wants to be a magician, and mm-hmm, how they can be supportive in understanding what kids go through. So overall, I think it's a great way to kick off a convention, but it really shows IBM's commitment to youth.
Now, what did Sorcerer Safari have to do with this? I understand there was some alignment that they had.
You know, I don't know.
That
I don't know. So you could talk to Becky about that.
I will ask her about that because I think it seems like I saw something about that on the website or
right,
something, that they were going to be involved. And so by Lance lending his name to it, I know it's more than just his name because he's had a commitment to youth forever.
Right.
You know?
And it is in his name because, you know, the neatest piece to this, and I have pictures that I've seen that he's just sitting in the back laughing with youngsters.
Yeah.
Teaching kids tricks, then showing them tricks. So it's almost like passing the baton.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important, for kids to recognize that these people aren't invisible, that you can really reach out and that they'll reach out to support you.
Right.
And all of these main people have told the kids, you come to see me, I'll be happy to teach you. And so
now there'll be some more activities tomorrow and the rest of the convention?
Absolutely. We have a full morning tomorrow with a lecture from Lance, a couple of more lectures. Thursday we have a kickoff breakfast, mm-hmm, where we're going to work with the kids to meet some of the main stars. Saturday we'll have a workshop. We're going to do balloon magic. They're going to put on their little own show, and then we'll do some card magic. So a full rest of the week.
So it really is a convention within a convention, kind of.
And it gives the kids a chance to meet with their own,
yeah,
kind,
yeah,
but it also allows them to go and mix it up.
I think it's kind of cool this evening, the show we're going to see, Make Believe, is also something that is about the contestants, the youth contestants.
Right, and the Make Believe, from what I understand, was about the magic.
Preparing for the competition.
Correct, and so it's just a wonderful way for kids to see this, but also,
yeah,
for all these other delegates.
Now, how many people have attended this year so far? As far as
we had 24 today and yesterday, so 24, 25 kids, which is wonderful.
And you think more will probably come, I'm assuming?
Well, today, yeah, because now the convention
official
starts.
And
yes,
their parents come, and so there'll be more kids coming and everything, too.
Absolutely.
Do they need to be pre-registered? Because I'm thinking that right now we're going to be having some, you know, people listening to the podcast saying, hey, this,
right,
sounds exciting, I'm nearby.
They do need to be registered for the,
okay,
but they
can register. That's what I'm saying.
Right on site. They can come on in.
Yep.
But the other part to this is not only do we have special activities for kids, the key thing is that the kids can go to all the other lectures at the convention. So
yeah,
it is a conference, a convention within a convention.
Right, right. And so, again, this sounds like it's something different than we've had in previous years. I'm excited about this.
Well, it's just to have a Jeff McBride school and the,
yes,
Lance Burton
right,
youth training program. Take a look at that. You know, you can't,
sure,
you can't get any better than that.
Boy, that's for sure. Well, thank you very much, Aubrey. Quick question. What is your magic word?
Magic word.
The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. And so, you know, I like...
Hope.
Hope.
That's my magic word I'm looking for. That's my favorite word.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was Aubrey Fine. And you are actually the chairman of the youth committee. Is that correct?
For 15 years already.
15 years. You've been doing a fine job.
Thanks.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
The magic word. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished watching Make Believe, which was a great movie about a youth contest for the World Magic Summit. And one of the sponsors of the that contest is with me right now, Lance Burton. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you here, and thank you very much for all that you've done over the years. Now, you've been associated with the World Magic Summit for a long number of years.
Yeah, the Desert Magic Seminar was what it was originally called, and then they changed it to the World Magic Seminar. And we've had the youth program for, I don't know, maybe 25 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it started with Joe Stevens when he was running the convention.
Sure.
And he called me up one day and he said, listen, we've got some young people coming to the convention, which we never had before, some mm-hmm. teen magicians. And we've got about, you know, a dozen of them. And would you sponsor a lunch with mm-hmm. these kids and invite some of your professional magician friends? And that's what it started with. So
yeah.
it was just like a dozen kids, and we had a lunch, and I would invite Matt King and Johnny Thompson, mm-hmm. Fielding West, and Billy McComb, and you know, some of the pros that were at the
right.
convention, and we just
hang out
with the kids and
ask
talk
a question
to them.
And let them see that they're regular people. And here's what you can become as well. Just
exactly.
kind of like that.
And it just that's how it started, and then it grew from there.
Well, I recall when I was president of the TAOM, and I had you call in, and we were doing young magicians. That was before Skype, you know, or anything.
Yeah.
And we were trying to hook up something, you know, that could be video, and that didn't work out. And I remember the Howard Hale, I think. I was talking with you know, online, and you were answering questions. That just really made the kids
yeah.
day. You know?
Yeah, Howard's an old friend of mine. In fact, Howard and I met because we were competing when we were
sure,
young magicians.
Sure, well, that's what I want to get back to, because I was in Louisville, you know, whenever that you had competed and won. And as I recall, that you had been down there early, you know, practicing throwing doves into the lights and everything. And so
now, which convention?
That would have been about 78.
78.
Is that about right?
79. In 77, I competed at Abbott's.
Yep.
When I was 17.
So when you go in the gold medal?
Gold medal was 1980, and 80. that was in Evansville, yeah. Indiana.
It was Evansville.
Yeah, Evansville.
Okay. I stand corrected. Yeah, I remember it was, because I'm from Southern Illinois, and I remember it was kind of down in that area. I drove down. It wasn't far.
Yeah, and that was very exciting. So that was 33 years ago, and in fact, today, I was walking by, and they had, in one of the meeting rooms, they had a meeting of all the people that are competing in the gold medal competition this year.
Yeah.
And I stopped in the room and talked to them all.
Well, that is great.
Introduce myself and give them some encouragement.
Yeah.
And
kind of calm them down a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it calmed them down, but you know, people always ask me about competitions, especially for young magicians. And I always tell them, I always viewed competitions as a very positive thing. For three reasons. Number one, it gives you a deadline, because we're all procrastinators and we have ideas and things we want to do in our act, but we just put it off.
Right.
But a competition gives you a deadline, you know.
Right.
I know I'm going to do a show on July 20th, so I got to work on my act and put this new thing in. Number two is all the friends that you make through the competition, like Howard Hale and, mm-hmm. and like Jeff Hobson and Matt King, those guys.
Yeah.
A lot of them I met through the competitions. And number three, competition is a great showcase, because you go home and you practice and you work and you work on your act, and a competition is just a way to do it where a lot of people are going to see you, and you just don't know what it's going to lead to. And in my case, it was the competition with the IBM gold medal that led to my big break. I was invited back the next year for the IBM convention in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and in 81, and Bill Larson saw me there, and he hired me to come out to Los Angeles to be on the It's Magic show,
right.
And that's how I got my first spot on Johnny Carson, and that was the spot that led to my first job in Las Vegas. So
okay.
My entire career was started with the IBM gold medal competition.
So it's a competition that kind of leads. It's a live diving board, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a launching pad.
Yeah,
As I tell the kids, it's a place to showcase your mm-hmm. act.
And so, the place to start is just at your local club level or wherever that you can.
Sure,
at least, you know,
absolutely.
And get comfortable because there are going to be a lot of magicians who are going to be watching you. And
yeah.
So,
but usually the ones that do the best in the competition are the ones that do the most shows out in the real world.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's important to get experience wherever you can.
Wherever you can.
And that's the advice you'd give, I guess.
And that was how I did it, too, because, you know, when I was starting out, I wasn't proud. I worked cheap.
I recall, it seems like when you were in L.A., there was a club you were working that was kind of off the strip, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Body Shop.
Body Shop,
Sunset
that's right.
Boulevard. Yeah, I did
right.
a lot of shows there. And I was doing two shows a night, seven nights a week there. Mm-hmm. Until I moved to Las Vegas.
Right. But that was after you had won the award in Evansville, as I recall that as well. And then, of course, we didn't talk about FISM and winning the Grand Prix.
FISM
that
came later.
That kind of came there somewhere.
Yeah, that came later. I was already in Vegas. I'd been in Vegas for a couple months, and I took a week off to go compete at FISM.
But wasn't it after FISM that you got on Johnny Carson?
No.
No,
Carson
was
before
that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that was the same act, as I recall.
Yeah. FISM was, for me, FISM did open up sort of the Asian market and got me my first invitation to go to Japan to do a television show. So it was all good. But FISM was my last competition, and that was 31 years ago.
What I recall also about Johnny Carson's appearance there that seemed to be, as I recall, you were the longest. He gave you the most time.
12 minutes, Yeah, it was unheard of at the time. But Johnny Carson personally interceded to do that. He was watching my rehearsal. And
he said, don't cut him short.
Yeah, because they told me I couldn't do the whole act on the show, mm-hmm. but to do it in rehearsal, and they would figure out which parts I could do on the broadcast.
Johnny, because I know they have commercial breaks, and so they had to really move things around. He had to use his muscle, I guess.
And after the rehearsal, Johnny Carson came over, and I got to meet him. You know, it was a thrill. And then, and then a few minutes later, the talent coordinator came over, and he said, Lance, Johnny was watching your rehearsal, and he loves the act. He said, let him do the whole 12 minutes.
Wow.
So that was, you know, I'm always grateful to that.
And that was your one and only time you're on Carson?
No, I was on 10 times with Carson.
10 times, okay.
And then 10 times with Leno.
Okay.
So about 20 times total.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always thrilling to do the Tonight Show.
Now, what are you doing then now? I understand you're doing something with a movie. You and Johnny Thompson have got
Johnny's an actor in a movie that I wrote and I'm directing, and I co-wrote the movie with my friend Michael Goudeau.
Is Michael working with Penn & Teller?
He's working with Penn & Teller on their television. He was a head writer for their
BS
show on Showtime for many years. And Michael and I wrote a screenplay, and we've been shooting it. We're almost done. We just got a couple scenes left. We're just kind of shooting it over the last couple of years, just on the weekends.
And then looking for a national distributor, I guess?
Well, we're going to finish the movie first, then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it.
Okay. First things first.
Yeah,
get it in the can.
We've got to finish it first. But Johnny Thompson appears in it. He plays one of the lead roles, and he's hilarious. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of magicians in it. Actually, Jeff McBride is in it, mm-hmm. makes a cameo appearance, and Rory Johnson, Michael Goudeau, of course, Louis Anderson, the comic, is a friend of mine. He did a cameo appearance, as did Chris Angel. So we got a lot of interesting people in.
Remember that Johnny Thompson was in a movie, or rather a television series, that never did make it off the ground. Seems like he was it was a magician family or something.
Yeah, Johnny was involved. Johnny's been in several movies over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And sitcom pilots and things.
Man.
But he's very talented,
multi-talented
man.
Isn't he? Yeah.
So, and it was nice working with him. Johnny's been my mentor for you know, 30 years or more.
Years.
And we've worked on a lot of magic together. And but it was nice having, and Pam, his wife, is in the movie. But it was interesting having them in the movie and directing them.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Johnny, do this again. Wait,
they're both very good actors, so they were very easy to direct.
Okay.
But it was just a different dynamic, you know?
Right.
Johnny's usually the consultant, you know, that's helping me with my performance.
Right.
But in this is a different role, so that was an interesting dynamic. It was very easy to direct Johnny and Pam both because they're both trained actors.
Now, do you have a working title for it?
It's called Billy Toppett, Master Magician.
Billy Toppett,
yeah.
Master Magician. I like
yeah.
it. I like it. Very good. Well, I know, Lauren, thank you very much for your time. Listen, my name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So my question is to you is, what is your magic word?
The magic word, Sarmodi.
Sarmodi. It's always good. Also, it should be Lance or something in there.
No, Sarmodi. I'm trying to get everybody to use that.
It's very good. Thank you very much.
Sarmodi wishes.
That's it. That was Lance Burton. And for the Scott Wills for The Magic Word, Scotty out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we just finished watching Make Believe, which was about following the teen competitors for the World Magic Summit convention in 2009. And I'm here with, should I say where you finished in the competition, Mr. Bill Cook.
Hi, hey, guys. How's it going? You can say anything you want.
Sure, because it's going to be in the movie, but I didn't want to spoil the ending over there. You know,
we'll just not say. Let's just say one of the stars of the
stars of the movie. That's exactly right. And you, as a result, kind of that, you have moved on, and you are now the master of ceremonies for the World Magic Summit.
I am. Okay. Up until the World Magic Summit, as long as the World Magic Seminar was going, right. I was the MC for 2 years, and it was a blast. So yeah. Getting to see the new up and comings,
youth talent,
the new up and coming talent. Really,
yeah.
It was exciting because where I would sit on the stage, I would sit as far stage left as you could, almost like the thrust of stage left.
Yeah,
but like a little bit past, and from the side, I'd get a totally different show than everyone would from
course.
The front.
Yeah.
And to watch some of the technical things that kids do these days,
yeah.
I thought the stuff I was doing was tricky, but then there's reels and wires and springs and zigzag contraptions that...
There's so much can go wrong with those kinds of acts, I would think.
Oh, my God.
It's hard enough, you know, doing a manip act, but if you're going to be doing something that's going to depend upon wires and strings and electronics, it can always go bad.
Yeah. I think the most frustrating thing is that as the person sitting on that stage left side was watching someone, one person, I won't say who it was,
mm-hmm.
but you could tell that he didn't change his batteries on his one remote.
Oops.
And he's sitting there with, you could see him like pounding on his pocket, just hoping that he can just eke a little bit of juice out of the battery. And it did finally go. The motor did move enough to get the job done. But there's a lesson for you. Always change your batteries before a show.
Fresh batteries.
Yep. Now, I mean, my set isn't too technical. I have a remote control. It's a jumbo card fountain that I had made for me that I had converted to work for CDs.
For the jam box.
Yeah.
That you have with the CD shooting out.
Yeah,
cool idea.
I have a boom box and it shoots regular size CDs out of it. And getting that thing made was a chore and a half. But I make sure fresh batteries, and I have to be within a certain range of feet.
Yeah.
I can't be more than 60 feet away from the box, which... When you think about
that's pretty
it,
good range.
I don't ever need to be 60 feet away from it.
The stage wouldn't be that far.
Right.
Most times.
You know, in my act, I stand next to it, I hit it, I move 2 feet away, and I hit the button. So it's like, the limitation's great, and it's great to know that I can be that far away from it, but I'll never need it.
In the movie, when you were talking about that you hadn't seen anybody really do a CD act, had you not seen Murray Sawchuk?
I had never seen... Man,
you've probably heard this question before. Right?
How the whole CD thing came about, I was just talking to a couple of my friends about it. I was in math class, and my teacher had passed out CDs for... we were going to do diameter of CDs.
This would have been what year?
This was 2004.
Okay.
So right when YouTube was like... There's a cat video or a dog video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Great. No idea. I had no idea who Danny Cole was. I had no idea who Murray was. I had no idea about John T. Sheets. I knew nothing about anything related to CD Magic. I knew nothing about even the people that did CD Magic. So we were doing diameter of a CD in class, and I picked up the CD and I'm bored, and I had just learned the flipstick.
Yeah.
And I took the CD and I flipstick it, and I make it reappear, and the guy across me goes, "Do that again." So I did it again. And I bring it back, and he punches the dude next to me and goes, "Check this out, Jimmy." And Jimmy watches, and I got the whole table watching this.
Yeah.
And
I think it might be something to this.
I'm like, "Oh, this is pretty cool." And I put it on the back burner, and then I start to play with it again a little while, realizing I can Tenkai it if you put your thumb in the hole and this and that. I'm like, "All right, that's pretty cool." Put it on the back burner. I go to the magic shop a couple months later, and I said, "I want to do a competition act in Las Vegas that is not cards or billiard balls." Because I've seen it. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a couple years later. I just come back from the World Magic Seminar. I just saw the teen contest. I'm like, I want to do that next year. I want to make an act. Mm-hmm. What do we got? And the guy behind the counter goes, this is new, and he throws me Eddie Ray's Show Off with CDs. I'm okay. Like, well, that's a good start. Oh, I can do that thing with the CDs. And then, oh, this would be kind of cool. And I put everything together, and I did my first act. And about that point on YouTube, it had come around that I can finally start to see other magicians.
Right.
You know, we had started to put our videos on there, but I still had no idea to look up other CD magicians.
Right.
That thought didn't dawn on me until 2008, after I had already gone through all the hard stuff, 2009. And even then, I didn't know names. I didn't know who to look for. So
sure.
I didn't know Murray. I didn't know Danny Cole. I didn't know anything.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't know Murray until he contacted me on the internet. And I didn't know Danny Cole until, maybe 6 months before I met him. I finally saw his act that he did on, I think, a Lance Burton special.
Hmm.
I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And up until that, I mean, that was...
Yeah.
I didn't know
originally. Yeah, it was your... Yeah, right.
So
that's what kind of the genesis.
Sorry, it's a long story.
Yeah, well,
but,
that's fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad to hear that. And so, anyhow, you continue to develop that, and then you put dance into it, and then music, and you've always had a passion for music. And, of course,
always
you come from a musical family then, of course. Your father was a band director at the high school there in Niles, mm-hmm. Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Skokie, Illinois.
Skokie, yeah. Okay. And that...
My dad just retired after 30 years of dedicated teaching and service.
Wow.
And in his final concert, I made him disappear in the middle of a gymnasium.
How cool.
Their final concert was a pasta and pops dinner. So they would feed you dinner and then do a show. It got to be over 1,000 people, so they did mm-hmm. it in the gym. And my dad says to me, I want to disappear at the end of my concert. I'm like, okay.
I can do that, I think.
I think I can do this.
Yeah.
So I contacted Jeff McBride, and Jeff told me a couple different options. And I'm like, you know what? That's the one I want to do. So my dad, my whole family loves Phantom of the Opera. So he did a Phantom of the Opera medley because at the end of Phantom, he disappears.
Yep, disappears, right.
So I covered my dad in a cloth, walked him out to the middle of the gym, vanishes, and he reappears on the balcony, and it was incredible. And we didn't get it on film.
Oh. So
there were so many people that had cameras, and nobody gave it to us. So
amazing.
We managed to find one copy.
Yeah.
From behind me.
Perfect.
And I don't know if any of the magicians listening, you really can't do this sort of camera work from behind the magician.
For that particular illusion.
For that exact illusion.
Yeah, exactly. So you went on then to college and you studied sound engineering. And
yes, sir.
Got a degree, and you're doing what then now?
With my degree, I'm doing very little. My brother works for the Chicago Bears. I keep saying he's the webmaster, but he's not the webmaster. He creates content, and he's the content manager for the Chicago Bears. He's in charge of their Facebook and their Twitter and the overall look of the website.
Okay.
And they were doing a new thing on their website called Sights and Sounds of the Game, where as the players come off the field, they're all, oh, great game, you're a great play, whatever. And they needed someone to capture that. So I'm paired up with a camera operator for mm-hmm. all the Chicago Bears home games,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the mic op. So when they come off the field, I'm right there. Then we mic up a player each game, and then I do the post-game interviews in the locker room.
And I heard you say your specialty is in sound effect
creation. My specialty is in sound effect creation, also known as Foley.
Foley, yeah, the Foley Studio. So that's kind of where you're hoping maybe to go to Hollywood and work in a Foley Studio?
No. I want to be a full-time professional magician. But I have a great backup.
And that's good. And as a magician, and you're doing a lot of that then right now, what type of shows do you do?
Actually, my specialty currently is in nursing homes.
Is that right?
Nursing homes, rehabilitation centers. I work it's a tough gig, but I work the children's burn hospitals
mm-hmm.
And the children's pediatric hospitals in Chicago. I'm telling you, it takes a solid week of mental prep to go, and then it's a solid month to come down from it.
Come down, yeah, sure.
But there's that. Trade shows. I just started working with Danny Orleans on mm-hmm. trade shows.
Yep.
And he is
good guy.
He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah.
Jeez. Of course, your birthday parties and your Cub Scouts and mm-hmm. I work everything, but I'm primarily focusing on trade shows and stand-up performances like at nursing homes. But starting in September, I will be doing a monthly dinner show in Chicago, a dinner theater show at this restaurant called The Parthenon.
Sure, I've been down there in Greektown.
In Greektown.
Yeah, it's a great place.
I've been going to The Parthenon since I was born.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's we don't have
They have some cheese, a flaming cheese.
The Saganaki.
Ooh,
the flaming
so
cheese. Opa.
Two of those at a time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't just eat
don't
one.
Do more than two at a time, though. Yeah, your heart will stop. But we don't have any dinner theater shows in Chicago. We have a thing called Tommy Gunn's Garage.
Dennis Watkins had the one down at the Palmer House for a while.
That's not a dinner show.
Oh,
he
you're
still,
right. It's
he
just
still
a
has it.
Oh, does he? I didn't think.
He still has it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still running the Magic Parlor. I went to see it 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was outstanding.
I'm sure it is. I like Dennis.
But it was a two-drink show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the night before, my family and I made a Dennis Watkins weekend. We went to see the reincarnation of Death and Harry Houdini.
Awesome show.
Which was amazing.
It is.
And then we went to see Dennis at the Palmer House. And again, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And Dennis, if you're listening, you're amazing.
Ditto.
but there's no dinner theater shows in Chicago,
yeah.
Except for Tommy Gunn's Garage, which is an old time. They've made it out to be like back when gangsters and prohibition. So you have to knock on the door and tell the guy that slides the slit over that you're here for an oil change, and he'll let you into the saloon and you drink hooch. And there's a whole a cop raid, and it's fun. And then the occasional murder mystery. And that's it.
Wow, I'm surprised that. Well, I'm sure there's, of course, years ago that that's all they had were just nightclubs and dinner shows and all those kinds of things. So to bring that back is a great idea with the magic show, certainly. Now, in the Parthenon, do they have a back banquet room or someplace for this?
Maybe 6 or 7 years ago, they made this beautiful, they bought the building next door, turned it into a hostel above, youth hostel above, and then they gutted everything and made it this beautiful banquet room with murals all along the walls and fantastic lighting.
So they built this beautiful Parthenon. Yeah, I know they've got all this.
They built this beautiful room
that
seats like 300.
But they use it as a banquet facility?
They use it as a banquet facility, but I only want to use 100 seats.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep it moderately intimate.
Kind of a parlor type.
I want to make it a parlor setting, mm-hmm. yes. And we've worked out an arrangement where they'll get food, and then they'll get a show and drinks. And what we're working on is through this year, we'll do this way. And then starting the first of the year, we're going to do two shows, one adult. Not adult. I hate saying an adult show because I don't want you to think you're coming to see a stripper.
Yeah, I know what
it's,
you mean.
It's geared towards 17 and over.
Yeah.
And then we'll do an all-ages family show as well.
Okay.
And I have a working title, but I'm not sure if we're going to stick with it.
And that is?
Deceptions After Dinner.
Okay, I like that.
It's a working title. Don't take my URL from me. and then I don't really have a title yet for the all-ages family show, but we won't have to worry about that until the end of the year.
Yeah, very cool. So a lot of things in the works then right now.
Right now, we're rolling. I don't really have time to sleep in my own bed.
Yeah.
I'm around the country.
That's
and it's,
awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
That's good. Well, let me ask you, as we start to wrap up over here,
sure.
The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, so what is your magic word or your mantra, something you live by, something you talked about excellence. I thought that was kind of good,
Man, I've got a lot of them.
But which one comes to mind?
Well, I've got two. The goal is excellence and nothing less. That was the motto I talked about in Make Believe, and that was what I pushed myself toward was to achieve excellence. But I've kind of fallen in love with a motto from Dunninger. For those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who do not, none will suffice.
Yeah,
I dig that motto. It could be spiritual, or it could be magical, or it could be whatever you want it to be. But I look at it as, if I want to believe in my own career, I don't have to explain it to anybody. If I choose to be who I am and do what I do, then that's enough for me.
Great. And just, I guess I should have asked also, since you started out as being a youth magician and you were in the movie Make Believe, just a quick word of advice to the youth.
Oh, they asked me that question tonight at the Q&A. What is one bit of advice you can give? And this is actually something I'm currently battling with my own performances. When you get off stage, you think back on your own show and you're like, oh, God, I flashed that, or I did that, or I messed up that trick. And people want to come up to you and thank you for your performance and say that you're fantastic and that was the best they've ever seen. And my advice to the young magicians is sincerely say thank you. Because they're giving you a gift of a compliment. And
right.
You don't want to look at them and go, are you out of your mind? If they say anything at all, say thank you very much. That means a lot.
Bite your tongue and just say that.
Not even bite your tongue.
Yeah,
just learn to accept a compliment.
Yeah, good advice. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Very good, Bill. That's Bill Cook. And for the magic word, Scotty out.
I got this and not go, oh, I'm an idiot!